Well, welcome on this snowy February Sunday. It is good to have you here. I am glad to see you. We are definitely a little lighter this morning, which means I probably just need to take a second to acknowledge thank you to everyone who is joining us online. If you chose not to make the drive because it was unsafe, good decision. We do know that we have a policy around here that we do not close for snow. If it's just me and Scott sitting here, we'll still have a good time. It'll be great, because I can assume if it's bad enough that Scott can't get here, we are all in very, very real trouble. If you don't know, he lives right across the street. but if you chose to stay home, that is a good decision. We do not want you risking life and limb to get here. If you are here, we are still glad to have you here. We are going to have some fun in the book of John today. All right, we are in chapter 16, but before we get into that, by way of review, here's where we've come so far. John has driven this point home over and over again throughout the book, and because he is driving towards his landing spot where he is going to proclaim that Jesus is not living on earth just as a good man. He is not just here as a teacher to give us information. He is God himself come to set things right. And as a result of that, when Jesus walked on this planet, he came to change everything. He came to impact this world in such a way that from before he was here till after he was here would be entirely different in the way that we interact with the planet, in the way that we interact with each other, and most importantly, in the way that we interact with God. Jesus changes everything. And throughout the book, we've been asking this question of one another, so who then is Jesus to you? And what is it that you are looking to get from Jesus? What is it that you want from him? Because while we know that our opinion of Jesus does not change who he is any more than my opinion of an apple changes it from an apple into an orange, I can think it's an orange all day long, it doesn't change it. If I, how I choose to approach Jesus, how I choose to treat Jesus, and who in my mind he is, will change my interactions with him. The same way that if I think an apple's an orange and I go to try to peel the skin, I'm going to end up with a very messy surprise on my hands. It does not change the nature of it, but it does change my interaction with it. Then Jesus is at a point in his ministry that as we have been in 14, 15, 16, even as we get into chapter 17 next week, where he is prepping to leave. He's actually going to spend a lot of time on that concept today. He is prepping to leave the apostles behind. But he's got this last teaching that he wants to, teaching time that he wants to spend with them, where he gives them some last minute information. And really, his goal, he said it three chapters ago, his goal is to show the apostles that he loves them, that he cares for them, and that he's not just abandoning them, but rather he is leaving them for a purpose, and that that purpose is that he loves them. He is leaving because that is good, and that is going to end up being beneficial for them. So he is trying to show his apostles his love right up until the last minute that he has together with them. And with that in mind, we start chapter 16, and it starts this way. It says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. What are the things he's talking about here? And it's important to say that because he's about to say, here's why I said that. It's everything that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. It's specifically, though, what we talked about at the end of last week as we talked about persecution and the trials and the tribulations that were going to come upon the apostles, the hard times they were about to face. It was also, though, this call to them to step up, to step into their relationship with him and to start doing things differently. He talked last week about keeping his commandments. We talked about those commandments being love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, all of who you are, dedicated, focused on, given to the God who created you, the God who loves you, and the God who wants what's best for you, saying, God, you have all of me. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's Jesus' summary of the other. So if the first commandment sums up the first four, the second commandment covers the other six of the Ten Commandments, this idea that we are supposed to go through life not just looking out for number one, but looking out for all people. The people that we come in contact with, we should be showing love as a sign that we are a follower of God. But then during this, Jesus gave a third commandment, that we love one another. And in that, he adds a third, more narrow category, which would be encompassed by the previous one, but also gives us an extra call to focus on loving one another in our relationship as followers of Jesus. At this point, he's giving that specifically to the apostles, right? The 12, or at this point 11, who have been following him for the last 3.5 years, he shows them his love by washing their feet. He shows them his love and then says, you should love one another this same way. You should be investing in each other's lives. You should be serving one another. You should be willing to put your own personal preferences aside to prefer one another. And then, of course, the epistle writers such as Paul would go on to give other examples through the books that they would write of how that applies to the church more as a whole. But he's given them these teachings. He's called them to fulfill those teachings. He's told them about persecution that's coming. And you might start thinking, man, it really seems like in his last days, Jesus is giving a whole lot of stuff they need to do. But we talk around here all the time about the fact that it's not about a checklist. It's not about getting the gold stars. It's not about those things. So why does it seem like Jesus is giving all these commandments, these instructions, these checklists in his last time with the apostles? Does this mean that grace has gone by the wayside? Well, now Jesus is going to answer that. He says, no, I have said all these things. I've told you all these things in order to keep you from falling away. He says, because they will put you out of the synagogues. He says, indeed, there's an hour coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. He says, but I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. So what he's saying is, there is a time coming where as you follow me, as you do the things that I've called you to do, as you live in the grace and the freedoms that I have given you, as you live as a follower of Jesus, what that's going to mean is those who were practicing traditional religion at that point in time, those who were going to the synagogues, those who were trying to do the gold star thing, trying to do the checklist thing, they're going to get really, really mad at you. In fact, they're going to get so mad, they're going to put you out of the synagogues. They're going to say, you no longer belong here. You are no longer a part of us. In fact, they're going to come to a point where they are so fed up with the Jesus followers, who at this point in time would start becoming known as the Way. You see that in the book of Acts. They're going to get so fed up with these people that they're going to have this belief that honestly, if we just do away with them, if we kill them, if we get rid of them, God would be a lot more happy with us. Because we think that they are actually acting in contrast to God. We think they are serving as opponents to God. They are against our God. So really, we need to work for our God and take them out. And what Jesus says is they're going to be doing these things because they have not known the Father. Because they don't know what the Father actually wants. They don't know the God who created them. They think they do. They think they know him well enough that they can act for him, that they can take a life for him. And he says, they haven't known him. They haven't known me. They haven't known Jesus. He said, but I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, when these things happen, you are going to remember this conversation. You're going to remember that this happened, and you're going to remember that it was me, Jesus, who told them to you. He says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. He says, but now that I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? It says, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. He says, look, I didn't need to tell you this before. This may sound like a new teaching. He's like, but I didn't need to tell you before. I was here. I was leading. I was at the tip of the spear, and if they got mad, they were going to get mad at me. When they came to kill us, they came to kill me. He's like, Jesus said they're not gonna come to try to put all the apostles on the cross the next day. They're gonna come to try to put Jesus on the cross the next day. He's like, I was here to answer the questions, I was here to field the concerns, and I was the one who's gonna be the target of their wrath. He says, but now I'm going away. I'm going to him who sent me, that being God the Father. And he says, and none of you ask me where are you going, but because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. He says, I'm saying these things so that you don't fall away, because I see you now. I'm spending time with you now. He's spending time with his apostles, and he's seeing that as he tells them they're leaving, their response is to have their hearts filled with sorrow. They're sad, which makes sense. Their friend's going away, right? But Jesus is saying, well, I want to prep you for that. He's been offering peace. He's been offering comfort. He's telling them these things so they don't fall away, but he's still seeing their heart filled with sorrow. So he's going to take this a step farther. He's going to tell them something that's actually quite profound here in a second. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. And you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. This verse 7 specifically, rocked my world the first time I saw it. This is, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Here's what Jesus is saying here. I'm about to leave. And in Jesus' mind, he knows what that means. He's going to the cross the next day. He's going to die. He's going to be buried. 3 days he's going to be in the grave. And then he's going to come back. He's going to come back from the dead. He's going to conquer death. And that's going to be the thing that we celebrate for eternity, the fact that he did that. But then, 40 days later, he's going to ascend into heaven. He's going to go to heaven, and he's no longer going to be on this planet. And when he does that, the apostles are going to go back to Jerusalem. They're going to sit in Jerusalem, and they're going to wait because they're scared. They're terrified. They don't know what's coming next. And at one point, we call it Pentecost, Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And that Helper is going to go into the apostles, into those who were Jesus' followers, and he's going to give them the power to speak on behalf of God. And they're going to step out with confidence, with boldness that they did not have before. They're going to speak in such a way that on the first day, over 3,000 people are going to say, okay, this Jesus guy, he was legit. We're going to be all about Jesus. Now, 3,000 people in one day because of this Helper that's coming. With this Helper, we get the rest of the New Testament. In fact, even these four Gospels were not written until after the Helper had come. When the Helper comes is when we get the rest of the truth concerning Jesus, where we get the rest of the truth about the things that he wants us to be doing as a church, as a body in this age. All the information we have about God and our relationship with him entirely comes from the fact that we get the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which is what makes this incredible. When Jesus says, I am going away, what he is telling you is that the Holy Spirit he's going to send is better for you than if you had Jesus himself here today. It is better for him to go so you can have the Holy Spirit than if he had stayed. And this blew my mind the first time I saw it because, I don't know, you might be like me, right? If I was asked, if you had your choice, pray to God like you do today or spend a year with Jesus, which would you pick? For me, my knee-jerk reaction on that every time is, I want the year with Jesus. I want the year with Jesus every single time, right? But if Jesus had to choose, what Jesus says he would prefer is that we have the Helper, that we have the Holy Spirit, because he says it is to our advantage that he goes so the Helper can come. It is not just, I think, for the apostles' advantage, but every person on earth's advantage, that we now have access to the Holy Spirit in a way that up until this point was unprecedented. All through the whole Old Testament, if the Holy Spirit was to come on an individual, and we're going to see this a lot in our next book as we get into the book of Judges, the Holy Spirit comes to individuals, he empowers individuals for a period of time, and then he goes, he leaves them. And it says the Spirit of God leaves an individual, and then they were left powerless. What Jesus is saying is that we're not doing that anymore. Now I'm going to send the helper, and he is going to be here always. And when you choose to become a follower of Jesus, when you say, Jesus, I'm all in, I'm all about you, you also receive the same power that Jesus is talking about here. And when the world sees a church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, when the world sees a group of individuals who have come together to do life together, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, it says they can't deny it. It says he ends up convicting the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Because when they see the effect of following Jesus, they have to do business with who Jesus is. And it says it's convicting because they don't believe in him. Concerning righteousness because he goes to the Father. If we're doing business with who Jesus is, we have to do business with who sent him. We have to do business with the fact that there is a God who sets a standard. There's a God who is perfect, who knows what's best for you, who created you for a reason, and we have a standard, righteousness, that we see as we look at Jesus because of who sent him, the Father. And that's made known to us through this helper, through the Holy Spirit. And he says, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Because Jesus knows the next day he is going to battle. The next day he is going to defeat Satan once and for all. And he's saying that when we have the Holy Spirit, we're going to be able to see that with our own eyes. He says, I still have many things to say to you. He says, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is another fantastic passage that talks about the concept of Trinity, right? We know that the word Trinity does not show up anywhere in Scripture. There's no verse that says, and God is three in one, the Trinity, it doesn't exist. But there are multiple passages that talk about this concept of the Trinity, which is why we believe that God is three in one, three distinct individuals functioning as one glorious being. We do not understand it. We call it the mystery of the Trinity. This is one of the passages that brings this concept forward. It says, I still have many things to say to you. Jesus says, I've been spending the last 3.5 years with the apostles. I've been teaching you for the last 3.5 years, and I'm not done. I've got so much left to tell you, but you're not ready. It says, after 3.5 years of walking together, you're still not ready for what I have to say, but don't worry, because the Spirit's coming. This helper is coming, and when he comes, he will guide you into everything that you need. This is the promise of what you have in the pews in front of you, on the screen in front of you, in your homes, on your phones. This is the promise of Scripture. That what Jesus is saying is, when the Spirit comes, he is going to complete the teachings. He's going to give you the truth that you need to know God's desire for your life. And he's going to guide you into it, but he's not going to do it on his own authority. It says, whatever he hears, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking into Scripture, whatever is there on the page, is not just the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus himself. He says, he is going to declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, that's Jesus, for he will take what is mine, his teachings, his instructions, his care for you, his love for you, and he is going to be the one who declares it on this planet. Initially to the apostles through the inspiration of Scripture, and then through the rest of time, through the church that he is going to institute, is indwelt with, filled with the Holy Spirit as we go forth and declare the things that we know to be true that we learn from the Holy Spirit. He's going to glorify Jesus by taking his teachings and declaring it to the world. And he says, and all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said to you, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit's going to speak on my authority. I'm speaking on God's authority. The fact is, we are all speaking together. We are unified. It is one God who is teaching us the things we need to know how to interact with him and how to interact with the world. And the source of that in our lives is Scripture given through the Helper, the Holy Spirit. See, this is why Jesus started this whole section with, look, I know you're discouraged. I know I've told you that I'm leaving and your heart is filled with sorrow. You're going through hard times and there are more hard times coming. But I'm telling you, we're going to be with you every step of the way. I'm telling you, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm telling you that every time you open the Word of God, every time you open the Bible, it is a tangible, physical reminder that I love you. It's a tangible, physical reminder that I am with you. Because without the Spirit in us as followers of Jesus, that doesn't exist. He's actually going to say something even cooler here in a section. He says, and a little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to each other, "What is it that he says to us? A little while and we will not see, you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me because I am going to the Father." So they said, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Again, John points these out multiple times through his book, and I love them because they're always reassuring to me. The apostles who walked with him for 3 years had no clue what he was talking about. When I don't understand it, I'm not alone. They spent 3.5 years with him and couldn't figure it out. It's okay. But Jesus goes on to explain. Because right now, they're confused by his language. They're confused with how he's laying this out. We now have the end of the story. We now have the Holy Spirit. We now have the apostles writing with the help of the Holy Spirit to help us understand this. We know what he means. You're going to see me no longer. He's going to die. And again, a little while, 3 days, and you will see me. He's going to come back from the dead. He's talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. They don't know that. They could have. He has taught on it in the past. But we